NTSB prepares to wrap up the Reno Air Race case. Boeing has some good news for Oklahoma City. And cracks on some A380s have Australian engineers concerned. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Monday, January 9th, 2012. The U.S. National Transportation Safety Board has scheduled a hearing for Wednesday in its investigation of the case of Jimmy Leeward's P-51 crash at the 2011 Reno Air Races. The hearing itself is scheduled for 9 a.m. Eastern Time in the board's conference center and boardroom in Washington, D.C. A total of 15 witnesses are on the agenda, including representatives from the FAA, EAA, and the Reno Air Racing Association. All will be questioned by the five members of the NTSB. The association announced last week that it does plan to hold the event in 2012. A hot air balloon carrying 10 passengers and a pilot went down outside the New Zealand capital city of Wellington Friday morning. There were no survivors. The Dominion Post reports witnesses said the balloon caught fire and came down like a rocket. It reportedly struck some power lines as it fell. One witness said 30-foot flames were shooting out of the basket as it came down. The weather was calm and clear, according to the New Zealand Herald. The accident is under investigation. Boeing says that between 800 and 900 engineering and program support jobs leaving Wichita, Kansas, and the Puget Sound area of Washington State are headed for Oklahoma City. The company says it's reassigning the jobs, quote, in order to remain cost competitive and meet its customers' needs, unquote. Roy Williams, president of the Greater Oklahoma City Chamber of Commerce, says, quote, we have been working with Boeing over the course of many months to understand their business objectives, and we are ready to help them grow. We are in an economic environment where companies are making cuts to stay competitive and meet customer demand. Oklahoma City has maintained a strong business climate and a cost environment that allows companies to be successful, unquote. Kansas and Oklahoma are both right-to-work states. The European Union's new taxes on airlines for carbon emissions drew a warning from China last week that it does not recognize the new charges as legitimate and that its airlines will refuse to pay their tax bills. A bill which would prohibit U.S. airlines from paying the tax has passed our House of Representatives. Now, the EU is responding with threats to ban flights from non-compliant airlines in its airspace. According to a report in the New York Times, Isaac Valero Ledrin, the European Commission's spokesman for climate action, said on Thursday at a news conference in Brussels that a ban would be a last resort based on continued non-compliance. He said he was confident that airlines would fall into line, as the penalties for not paying the tax are higher than the tax itself. Just as everyone was starting to forget about the uncontained engine failure on a Qantas A380 last year, the Australian Licensed Aircraft Engineers Association has called for the inspection of all A380s flying for Qantas and other carriers after small cracks were found in the wing rib attachments in some airplanes. The online news site stuff.nz.co reports that Qantas discovered the cracks on one of its airplanes undergoing extensive repair, and Airbus confirmed that the problem has cropped up in one Emirates aircraft and two belonging to Singapore Airlines, as well as a fifth aircraft belonging to Airbus, which is used for development. Airbus and the airlines all say the planes are completely safe to fly. Airbus says it will be issuing a service bulletin later this month, requiring airlines to check the jets for the problem during their scheduled four-year heavy maintenance. The Engineers Association, however, insists that the inspections should be done as soon as possible. European regulators reportedly have no plans to issue an airworthiness directive at this point. Up next on ANN, UAVs will play an increasing role in Obama's downsized military. NATA tries to get FBO auditors on the same page. And LSA companies gear up for Sebring. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3020.
we're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Monday, January 9th. I'm Paul Platt. The plan by the Obama administration to trim the U.S. military, which was an issue for Republican primary candidates in debates over the weekend in New Hampshire, includes a move to make increased use of unmanned aerial systems and cyber warfare. President Obama explains, quote, "Yes, our military will be leaner, but the world must know the United States is going to maintain our military superiority with armed forces that are agile, flexible, and ready for the full range of contingencies and threats," unquote. The administration offered few specifics, but says the military budget will be reduced by $487 billion. The troop levels will be drawn down by 76,000 to 114,000 personnel. Reuters reports that despite the evolving focus, Deputy Defense Secretary Ashton Carter says the F-35 is, quote, "still in the mix," unquote. The Inspector General for the Pentagon says the recent purchase of a fleet of Mi-17 helicopters for use in Afghanistan was mishandled by the Department of Defense. Over the past 5 years, $1.6 billion has been spent on aircraft categorized as non-standard rotary wing aircraft, with an additional $1 billion in the pipeline. According to a one-page summary from the IG, quote, "DOD officials were unable to identify a comprehensive list of all DOD-owned and supported Mi-17s, their total ownership costs, and all planned requirements in support of these aircraft," unquote. Defense News reports that the discrepancies were due to the ad hoc nature of the procurement. The IG says the Pentagon should have treated it as a major acquisition to get the most for its money and recommends that it create proper documentation and consolidate the reporting process through the U.S. Army. NATA, the National Air Transportation Association, is working to standardize the audit process for FBOs. The program is called the NATA Safety First Ground Audit Standard. Program Manager Elizabeth Nicholson explains, quote, "The preparation and hosting of these audits drains both staff time and resources to accommodate the various audits, which range in complexity from completing and returning an electronic self-audit form to a multi-day on-site audit. The requirements of the auditing companies vary greatly, making preparation for the audits a year-round necessity," unquote. Safety First will seek to create one ISO-compliant audit standard, which will satisfy operators, customers, and others, and which will cover best practices, compliance, and safety management systems. You can find out more using the FMI link at the bottom of the text version of this story, dated January 8th, at aero-news.net. LSA-related news is starting to flow ahead of next week's U.S. Sport Aviation Expo in Sebring, Florida. Flight Design has appointed U.S. Aviation of Denton, Texas, to provide factory-authorized service for the popular CT series of light sport aircraft. The Texas company has been a Rotax service center for several years and has more than 20 A&P mechanics on staff. Combined with its Part 145 repair station, U.S. Aviation is a major flight school with extensive contracts to train foreign flight students. Denton Airport is in the northwest portion of the Dallas-Fort Worth metro. U.S. Aviation can perform major repairs in addition to routine service. Aero Technical Institute will be holding training classes focused on Rotax engine maintenance just before and after the expo. ATI's Dean Vogel explains the timing. Quote, "Many customers have no problem with the cost of the class, but when the cost of transportation is added, they struggle with a decision. Planning our classes close to shows that customers are attending anyway makes it much easier for operators and maintainers to afford," unquote. ATI says 80% of the LSA fleet uses Rotax power plants. Courses include service training and maintenance courses at $495 each and a heavy maintenance course for $695. There's also a Rotax two-stroke class scheduled immediately after the expo. At last word, there were still seats available. You can find more info in the text version of the story, dated January 8th, at aero-news.net. Finally today, several of you have asked, CFI Bob Miller, who publishes Over the Airwaves, was released from Intermountain Medical Center here in Murray, Utah, in time for his scheduled commercial flight back home to the Buffalo, New York area on Friday. As we mentioned last week, Bob had a potentially serious collision with another skier last week on the slopes at Deer Valley. He got banged up, but he's going to be okay. Although until his nose heals, his modeling career is probably on indefinite hold. Bob says he appreciates all the well wishes from literally all over the world. We'll have one more Best of Bob today to give him a chance to kick back and rest up before resuming our regular Monday chats with an all-new one next week. Incidentally, Intermountain Medical Center here in Utah is called IMC by the locals. Bob seemed right at home in IMC. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, Bob Miller ponders whether all these new glass panels will make us better pilots. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts at iTunes, Odeo, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.